Lay of the Land is an independent production and has a time brokerage agreement with Devil Radio. Opinions expressed may not reflect those of this station, our staff, or our sponsors. Enjoy.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Welcome, everybody. This is Nate Timms, Lay of the Land, a show about life and politics in rural Wisconsin. Welcome all of our listeners to tonight. Looking forward to a fun show. Hope you all enjoyed your Labor Day weekend. It was a gorgeous weather weekend. Everybody should had a great opportunity to be outside. I know a lot of our farmers have been outside over the weekend. As you folks know, farmers don't really get a weekend vacation, even if it is a holiday. Their boss, in many cases, is the animals on their farm or the weather. And this last weekend, with the weather as beautiful as it was, a lot of harvesting was going on. I saw a lot of hay baled. It was a perfect weather for making hay. A lot of big bales being made over the weekend. Those bales are, the big squares are about 700 pounds. So nowadays they all get picked up by end loaders and loaded on big trailers and trucked off to large feeding operations. It's a different kind of farming than was done 40, 50 or more years ago. So also I'd like to invite you to support our show by going to Wisconsin WI Grassroots Network. The sponsor of the program is Wisconsin Grassroots Network. And if you go to the website, wigrassrootsnetwork.org, you can donate to keep us on the air. We're listener-supported radio, just like a number of other forms of radio that we have in the Madison area. Also, if you're interested in having a listening to some of the podcasts that we've done in past shows, go to devilradio927.com, and you can see a list of all the shows that we've done in the past. And if you missed a show here or there, you can catch up. So welcome you to that option. So tonight, I want to announce that we have a winner of our trivia question from last week. Remember, our question was, who was the originator of the expression, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I'm happy to say that I hardly got out of the studio and I had a call from a listener who said that was Lord Acton. And thank you, Nancy Stencil from Wausau, for calling in and giving us that answer. And Nancy will be the recipient of a guest pass to Wisconsin Grassroots Festival when we reconvene. And she'll also receive a T-shirt from Devil Radio. So congratulations, Nancy, on being a winner. And Lord Acton was born in 1835. So we've had problems with power corrupting for quite a long time. And obviously we have it big time today. So I'm going to introduce our guest early in the show tonight, as we want to have a lot of fun talking with our guest, Jerry Apps. And as you can recall from my first show, Jerry Apps is an author. He also is a producer of a number of TV shows on public television. He was part of the UW Ag Department. He's been a extension agent. And most important, he grew up 5 miles from where I grew up. And so he's really a neighbor. That's how I look at at Jerry Apps. And we're going to have a lot of fun talking about a lot of things pertaining to rural Wisconsin tonight. Focus is going to be in that area. We're going to talk initially, we're going to have a little fun talking about some of the nostalgia of the past. And then we're going to go on and talk about more about ag policies relating to the current situation and what maybe we can do to improve on some of those. So welcome, Jerry, to the show.
It's good to be along.
Thanks. So, Jerry, I started the show tonight by talking about harvest. And when you and I were young men, maybe even boys, we look back at this time of the year, and, of course, this was harvest time. I noticed today as I was driving into the studio, a four-row chopper, which was self-propelled, was motoring its way through a large field of corn. For our non-farming folks, this is the time of year when you harvest corn that is chopped for silage purposes, because at this point their stalks are large, they're big, tall stalks, they've got their full growth, and also the ears are fully developed. They're not dried down, which you would need for a grain that you were going to store, but the ears aren't fully developed. So it's a perfect time to be harvesting a corn for silage purposes, which is why you would chop the corn, is to put it into some kind of storage as a silage product. And when you and I were young, Jerry, how did we harvest? Now they're harvesting with these big self-propelled harvesters, and it's being chopped into wagons or often into trucks because it's being hauled long distances to farm site. How did we do it in the good old days?
Let me explain. I don't know the good old days or not, but I'll explain a little bit about how it was when I was a kid. And I'll take us all back to the late 1930s, early 1940s, and we farmed with horses at that time. We didn't have a tractor, and to fill a silo, it was a very different proposition than you just described, Nate, that goes on today. My dad would hitch the team to a corn binder, as it was called, and it would cut one row of corn as he drove the team across the field. And the cut corn was tied into bundles, and they spewed out on the side and landed on the ground. And he would cut what he figured would be enough corn to fill our little silo. We had a wooden stave silo, upright silo. And you had mentioned the stage of the corn for silage. We described it this way: the ear of the corn, the kernels were in the milk stage, which meant if you pushed your thumb on a kernel of corn, it would squirt out a milk-like substance. Long way from being ready for storage, to be sure, but just right for going into the silo. So a day or two later, after my dad had cut probably, I don't know, 5 acres or so, the corn wasn't planted nearly as thick as it is today. He would ring up the neighbors on the party line telephone, and he would invite them to come over for a silo filling bee. Now, we had a fellow in Wild Rose, my hometown, who did custom silo filling, which means he had a silo filler and a tractor to run it, which was pretty different because most of us didn't have tractors and either couldn't afford it or didn't know about having a silo filler. Now, a silo filler was a device that would cut the corn into little pieces, and then there was a fan on it, and it would throw, it would shove these pieces of corn up a tube into the silo, where it settled onto onto the bottom, and worked its way up as the load after load of corn was brought up to the silo. Now, one of the jobs that I had when I was a little kid was to walk around on the inside of the silo when it was being filled to make sure. And there was something called a distributor pipe, where the silo, silage would come into the silo, is spread around. I had to make sure it was spread evenly around and tamped it down. It was a kind of a terrible job, really, because it was boring. I walked around all day. It was noisy to hear the corn come stumbling in, but at noontime, everybody stopped and went in and had a huge dinner that my mother would prepare for all of the workers. And they would sit around under the big elm tree out front of the kitchen porch for an hour or so after they ate, swapping stories and talking about how well their corn, how well it was doing or wasn't. And then it was back at it. And then toward the, this is so different than the situation today. And then later, by the time they get to 4 o'clock or so in the afternoon, the silo was about filled. Now, one of the interesting things was to when to stick my head out the little window on the top of the silo and say, "Hey, there's enough corn, it's full." And my dad would say, "Don't do that until it's absolutely filled to the top, because the silage will settle overnight, and the next day we've got to put some more in." So I'm watching carefully, and my head is now bumping on the ceiling of the silo, and I'm sitting on my belly, and then pretty soon I've said, "This is it, I've had enough," and I push a handful of silage back out the window, and it lands down on the people working at the silo filler. And that's their message. "Hey, don't send any more corn up." That's a little bit of the sequence, Nate, of how we used to do it.
That was great. That was great, Jerry. And I always, this time of the year when you have these kind of cool days, sunny but cool days, reminds me of all of that kind of activity that you just described. We think we gave everybody a kind of a quick sense of how farming was conceived in those days, and you just cited the
Nate,
community. We're going to a break. We're going to a break here, Jerry. So we'll come back in a minute.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Thanks. We'll be back in a minute with Lay of the Land.